of service makes me think of the sanctuary of the church where I grew up. The walls have gorgeous mural tiles of spiritual giants, including Harriet Tubman, a hero who I can never fully I don't think I can fully contemplate the sacrifices she made for humanity. Born into slavery in Maryland, Miss Tubman lived in the most inhumane conditions any of us could imagine, if we even can truly imagine it. Parents were frequently separated from their children forever. Violation by white men of black women was common without consequence. Harriet and her people were given medical care as if they were animals in a barn. Now, Harriet was as courageous as any human being, and she did escape these horrific conditions, found freedom in the North, could have stayed there free in Canada. But Moses, or the general, as she was known, was called, and she answered. She returned to the regions of slavery in order to help release and usher others into freedom. It's believed that she helped up to 300 human beings find freedom. Now, when Harriet was a young girl, she was whipped and maimed. So what do you think the slave owners would have done to her if they caught her on her many trips back? And of course, she knew that the pain would be unimaginable, but she risked it. Most courageous service. So that is the ultimate example, in my example, one of the ultimate examples. That's a guiding star in our universe of service. And I think when we have a topic like this, it's good to lift those people up in our hearts to help us know we can and should follow the call in our lives in the context that we're living. You don't have to be as heroic as Miss Tubman in order to do something important. Everybody's got a different setting. Tom Owen Toll was 10 years old when he raised his hand and said, I want to go with the minister to accompany folks in their houses and share conversations. And those visits and time with his grandmother, who was going through a tough time, Tom came to know that he loved singing and bringing joy to folks in the later chapters of their lives. It's important. Tom was actually the minister in residence when I was a freshman in seminary, and he's been a mentor and friend to me. He does a lot of coaching for marriage, healthy marriages, and he tells a story that he and his wife were at a book signing in Oakland. An author by the name of Rod McKean was reading from a book called Finding My Father, which is about a lot of tenacious ups and downs on a boy's journey to develop a relationship with his dad. And they met the guy in the receiving line, bought his book, and then waited for him to sign a copy. And the first time he met Tom and Carolyn, Rod wrote in the book, "To Tom and Carolyn, be good to one another or else." And Tom holds on to that book and he uses it in his ministry, saying this is a good example of tough but important advice. So couples need to be of service to each other and to serve the relationship itself. In a mature, ever-evolving relationship, you have to ask yourself on a daily basis, is there something I can do today to deepen our committed bond? And am I willing to do something tomorrow and the next day, even when I might not get credit? And I think that most of us would agree we can expand that wisdom to our general human living. We humans need to be of service to each other and our community on a regular basis, or else. If we don't serve others, we risk accumulating amounts of self-pity or resentments or despair. If we are not helping the planet regularly, We risk losing out on opportunities for feeling happy, joyous, and free. Thursday night, it snowed for the first time. Loved it. This was a gorgeous white epiphany. The kids were happy. Many of us adults were happy. We did not have to shovel. And I'm probably not alone, and the snow made me remember last winter, which was pretty tough. Hard-hitting winter. Ice storms. And thinking of the theme of service, I remember how many people helped each other last winter. We had the big ice storm that put 700,000 houses without power for different periods of time in the region. So many people helped. You come on over to my house, get warm. We'll eat at my house. We have an extra place to sleep. People dug each other's cars out. I did not get her permission, so I'm going to just say this is bad preaching technique. Debbie Ward one night got her car stuck on a mound of ice on Lincoln Drive. It was like propped up on a lift of ice. About six people from the choir came out on the Lincoln Drive. Tom Schoonmaker stopped the traffic from being dangerous, and people helped. And of course, Debbie would have done the same thing if the shoe was on the other foot. So on and on, people dug each other's cars out all around the city and helped their neighbors who couldn't shovel. Why do people help so much? Probably a lot of different reasons, but I think in the base, it's because we know that's what we're supposed to do as human beings. It's not complicated. The challenge comes when we're not clear about how we are called to serve, or we just cannot kick it into action. Talking personally, the most challenging times in my life have included periods where I haven't felt a clear direction of what I'm supposed to do for good. I don't have that passion. I'll bet more than a few of you know what I'm talking about. You just kind of look at other people who seem to know what they're supposed to be doing, and you wonder, did I miss something in second grade or third grade, or why am I off? The good news is that we are not the first people to struggle with feeling disoriented in life. And as a matter of fact, we come to church to help each other find answers to these kind of important questions. So the mission of the church is building beloved community with compassion, service, and empowerment. And we each have the freedom and the obligation to ask, how am I called to be of service at this point in my life? Context, busy. A lot of people are busy. A lot of running obligations, feeling overwhelmed. A lot of opportunities or requirements for service. A lot of us feel tugged in many different, I should be helping there. I should be helping my neighborhood in this way. So how do you find the answer? What's the right place? We have to have spiritual health combined with service. This is not a grind it out sacrifice till you're depleted thing. So I'm going to offer a little framework for your consideration. I think it's helpful in discernment on many important issues in life. Some of this stuff comes from The Artist's Way, Julia Cameron, a book that I think really has some good suggestions for how to find a direction for being creative and helpful in your life. We have a lot of creative people in this church. We have a lot of poets, and people help put our wonderful screen up in an aesthetically pleasing way. Scott, this is espresso. The can of the screen up there is painted espresso. I think that's a nice artistic color that he picked. Sarah Spath is picking the images with her artistic capacity. We have people who sing and paint and draw. And I believe, as a minister here, my theology says everyone is an artist in their lives. Universal theology says you all have a capacity to be creative. God is creativity. So I want you to be creative in how you decide to be. And this gets into some good feng shui of the soul and fun creativity. Okay, so first of all, think about the theology of this. Every Sunday morning, we sing Spirit of Life. Spirit of Life. We're the Spirit is in us. It's a life force. We're not sealed off entities that are just separate from the Spirit of life, somehow can come to me and just meet me at the edge of me and don't be a part of me. No, more, kind of like an electricity filling you. So think of yourself as having to open up to that Spirit. You can call it God, life, whatever you want. And we're going to, first of all, figure out how to stop the blockages. There's a lot of ways we get stopped up. You got messages in your life. You aren't good enough. You're not talented enough. Oh, I can't sing like the choir. I can't. Am I going to not sing? I can't go and help people in disaster zones with relief. I didn't get trained in disaster relief, but I'd like to when New Orleans floods or what. But I missed it. I'm too old. I skipped it. Those are a lot of these messages are just untrue, and you got to just let them go. Let out the negative. Journaling, talking to a friend about your fears or anger. Another thing is to limit the amount of interaction you have with negative people. If negative people are weighing you down, glass half empty, complaining, whining, you can either talk to the person and address it or just have some space. But you have to get in a good place, and hopefully that's what we do as a community, as a church, all the time. Help each other get away from the blockages of helping to make the world a better place. Okay, and I really believe in this one. Feng shui for the soul. Get rid of your junk in your life. I think accumulating junk stops you from doing good. The Japanese are very strong on this, I believe. We as Americans struggle with it. Reduce, reuse, and recycle. It does not only create space physically, it allows you to spiritually have room for grace and creativity to happen in your life. What if we had a bunch of junk piled everywhere in the sanctuary? Literally, how would we feel in our worship? The same is true in the living with our lives and with being of service. Now, the fun stuff. You make space for grace in your life and then fill it with magic. Do fun things that make you happy. Elmer Perez is very good at this. Right here. He does a lot of fun things in his life. Make a list of 10 things you would do in your dream life and do it. Take a dance class. Go snowboarding. Eat a ton of raspberries. Just do fun things to make your heart alive. Because when your heart is alive and happy, you know where you want to serve. You know, go fill yourself with beauty. Go to movies, the park, museums. And when you're doing that stuff, I believe then you will know more. Your heart comes alive and says, you know what? I want to go and help my neighbor. My neighbor lady is very lonely. She doesn't have enough time. I think it's going to be fun. We'll listen to music and talk about the movie she loves. That's what I want to do. Or maybe, no, that's not what you want to do. Mel and Ann, Mel Strieb and Ann Gwynn, are in Africa teaching students how to do reading and math. They came alive in their heart and said, we want to go and spend months of our lives in different continents of the world working with communities that are underdeveloped. That's a heart vision thing that they got. We have people like Sam and others who tutor at Lingelbach. That's a heart thing. You find out what you want to do. Linda is leading Rebuilding Philly with others. Richard and Linda helping people in under-resourced homes in neighborhoods of Philly to rebuild their house in the spring. That's a heart thing. Figure out what you want to do. We have a number of folks who are working with returning citizens coming back from jail and prison. We have the most prisoners in the world in the United States of America. It's a very racist system. The new Jim Crow, it's called. It's a new era of the slavery thinking, in my opinion. You don't have to go that far if you don't want to, but a lot of families are devastated. We have folks working with people getting job skills when they come back, helping families go through the hard times when their loved one is in jail or prison. You can do that, and that's in line with the Harriet Tubman tradition. Whatever you do, don't hide it. whistle while you work. Write a song about how you're helping, or write a poem, or make a painting of it, but paint your spirit of life given vision for yourself, for your family, our church, and the world. Do it with audacity. Call upon those powers in you and around you, and together, let's make service happen. Blessings be. Amen.